So in the 1880s, the valley floor was mostly planted in prunes, and you had some vines up on the hillsides. But the first settlers, the first people to farm, they weren't like high-end winemakers. They were farmers. They were raising pigs and chickens and trying out varietals to find out what worked.
And the fact that the first of the wines that come from this wine area that we know now as just the highest, most fabulous wines were stuff that came out in gallon jugs.
Sure, it was jug wine. And most of these families, a lot of them, the Petersons, sold their grapes to Gallo. And Gallo, there was a great part in the film where Rich Mounts talks about you didn't know how much you were getting paid until you got a check months later after you delivered your grapes. And then it wasn't until someone, you know, like Dave Stair came along in the 70s. He built the first winery after Prohibition and really took things to another level, you know, in buying grapes locally and putting them in a bottle that said Dry Creek Valley.
Now, Anne, you're the executive director of Wine Growers of Dry Creek Valley. So start out by giving us a little bit of a geography lesson. What exactly is included in Dry Creek Valley?
So Dry Creek Valley is anchored in the town of Healdsburg, and the valley is about 17 miles long by a mile and a half wide. Today, we have more than 70 wineries and more than 130 growers in Dry Creek Valley. But this film takes us back and starts us at a time when, as John said, it was just families farming the valley and wine was just part of what they were farming.
All right. And John, there's a fabulous scene in the movie where, you know, this was just a small town. And it's like one of those movies we see about British country life or something. Someone gets off the train. And can you set this up for us?
Sure. Ned Newmiller, who's the vineyard manager at Segazio, talks about when a guy in a suit would get off the train at Segazio, they immediately knew he was a wine buyer. And Angela, who was this really strong family matriarch, would send one of the employees to go catch a chicken and fry up cook the chicken and have a meal. And they would sit down and drink wine and eat food before they would do business.
That's one of those things that we still feel very is a very important lesson and kind of a rule to live by.
One of the things that people who come into this area from outside, they ask me, and I don't have the answer to it, is the difference between Napa and the Napa Valley and the wineries of Sonoma. And would this film kind of help us understand what some of those differences might be?
Yes, I think that really there wasn't much difference between Sonoma and Napa in the early days, as you'll see in this film. It was really just families farming grapes on the hillsides. And then after Prohibition, grape farming became a little bit more nuanced. And then there's a famous class of 1972 that happened in Sonoma and Napa. Families came in and commercial wine production really started in this region. Sonoma, for a long time, remained more diversified while Napa grew much more quickly with their wineries and went on a different trajectory from Sonoma at that point.